Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and it's time now for the latest installment of our open phone series, The Explanatarium. That's right, Explanatarium. Think of it as a magical radio space where the lights go low and complicated things get explained in plain English by you. We're opening up the phones for you to explain something, anything, to your fellow WNYC listeners. Do you just get something, or are you educated in something that most other people find complicated? Is there just something that you know more about than most other people because it's your expertise? 212-433-WNYC. Join this edition of the Explanatarium. If there's something that you know more about than most other people, call us up and give everybody a 60-second explanation. 212-433-9692. Now, there are just two rules. One, you have to do it in under a minute. And two, no heavy opinion, okay? This is not a political rant segment. This is just for compelling information and succinct clarification about anything that you happen to know more about than most people. The Brian Lehrer Show Explanatarium. Want to take part? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. If you're the type of person who hangs out at parties just waiting for someone to mention spiders so that you can explain why daddy long legs aren't actually spiders, this is your moment. Maybe you're a doctoral student working on a dissertation and you're one of only a handful of people in the world who can actually describe Noam Chomsky's theory of linguistics as it applies to brain development. This is your moment. If you read the Wikipedia page for the Protestant Reformation and you can explain exactly what happened in 59 seconds, give us a call. Again, there are only two rules. You have to do it in under a minute, and no heavy opinion, no political rants or anything like that. Just the facts, context, clarification. The Brian Lehrer Show Explanatarium. Want to take part? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Let's give John in Brooklyn a chance to start it off. Hi, John. Thanks a lot for calling.
Hi, thanks a lot for taking my call. So what I have been wanting to tell a lot of people that I see on the subway is that when you get on a subway car and the air conditioner is broken, it's not for the whole train, it's just for that car. So if you go to the one in front of or behind you, it will be air conditioned.
All right, so it's more of a tip than an explanation, but we'll take it, and you certainly did it in under 60 seconds. George in Mamaroneck, you're on Brian Lehrer's show. Hello.
Oh, hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call. I can explain approval voting and how it will end the polarization in Egypt and the violence, hopefully. Approval voting is where you can vote for, give an approval for as many candidates on the ballot as you like instead of just one. When you're stuck with voting just for one, like we are in the United States, what happens is that candidates that are too similar to one another wind up spoiling each other's chances, which means that political parties have to be started to find out who's their best single vote getter. And that's what happened in Egypt. The Muslim Brotherhood was the largest single vote getter of its own faction. But there were a whole lot of moderate centrists that wound up all splitting up their vote totals. 50% of the people probably didn't want either one of the either the Muslim Brotherhood or the old military.
So it's a means for coalition building through the structure of an election, this approval voting. George, thank you very much. Let's go next to Shari in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. What do you want to explain?
I want to explain the origin and solution to the alternate side parking issue.
Yay.
The origin is that we actually need to move our cars so that the streets can be cleaned, and the original problem is littering. So if we would all stop littering, we would obliterate the need for alternate side of the street parking.
But you're not going to have zero garbage, even in a very civic-minded world, right?
Well, that's true, but really, if people think about it, they are the cause of their own additional problem, which is trying to find parking when there's alternate side street in effect.
Okay, the one word explanation for how alternate side of the street parking can be abolished. Littering. RJ in Prospect Heights. You're on WNYC. Hi, RJ.
Hi. I wanted to explain how the 2003 blackout started. And this is based on a report that was published in the New York Times that the first step of it was a tree branch in Pennsylvania knocking down an overhead electrical line. And the interesting part for me about it was that not long before that, I had been working with a union local, electrical workers local in that area, and about deregulation. And I had asked them to introduce me to someone who had been working for the electrical company for a long time and could explain how deregulation had affected their work. The first thing out of his mouth was tree limb cutting. They had changed the frequency. They had elongated the frequency of how often they cut tree limbs. So every time a tree limb knocked down an electrical wire, it was that much larger a tree limb, and it would take that much longer for the workers to go out and fix it.
And now we know, one decade and one day later. Thank you very much. By the way, we have a great Facebook thread, in case you're interested in looking at it or even contributing to it, with people's memories of the blackout. We were collecting that over the last couple of days. Hundreds of people posted. So if you want to read people's memories of the blackout 10 years ago yesterday or post your own, go to facebook.com/BrianLehrerWNYC. But we are in the Brian Lehrer Show Explanatarium, where you call up and explain something that you know more about than most other people in 60 seconds or less. And Fausto in Queens, you're next. Hi, Fausto.
Hi, Brian. Thank you so much for taking my call. And I just want to say, before I explain how photography works, that I actually learned English by listening to your program. I came to the U.S. about 12 years ago. And since then, I have been listening to your show, and I actually speak English now, and I'm able to communicate with you.
I'm really, really honored that you learned English in part by listening to this show. So what do you want to explain?
I want to explain how photography works. I'm a photographer myself, and I do see that there are so many people taking pictures with their DSLR cameras, and the picture that I get is usually underexposed or overexposed, and there is a way to take that picture the right way, and that is modifying the ISO, the aperture, and the shutter speed. So those three variables, if you play with those three variables, the ISO, the shutter speed, and the aperture, you will get the right exposure for your picture.
All right, and I want you to call back next week and explain that in Italian, okay?
Fausto, well, I will try to do
that. Thank you very much. Grace in Jersey City, you're on WNYC. Hi, Grace.
Hi, thank you so much for taking me.
What do you want to explain?
I want to explain about salt and the difference between natural salt, unprocessed salt, and the real salt that we need, and it's why it's important. Our body is like 75 to 80% salt water. Now, the real unprocessed salt has 80 or 90 trace minerals in it that your body needs in order to process that salt. When they process salt, which includes most white salt you find in the grocery, they take out those minerals, they sell them to the chemical companies, they put in ferrocyanide and aluminum something, I think it's citrate, and it's 60% by volume chlorine.
Does it matter?
It matters hugely because your body, it's sort of like doing white bread, white flour, and whole wheat. Your body doesn't know what to do without all the natural stuff in there, and so it can't process it properly.
Grace, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much. Got it in just under a minute. Now, folks, you may remember that in the lead-in to this, when I was inviting you to call and take part in the explanatarium, I was giving a few random examples of if you're an expert on this or you're an expert on that. I said if you read the Wikipedia page on the Protestant Reformation and wanted to call up and explain how it worked. Well, Catherine in Babylon is calling about the Protestant Reformation. Right, Catherine?
Yes, I am, although I missed the part about reading, going to Wikipedia, but I think from years of study and teaching, I can.
It's a little better than getting it from the Wikipedia page. So go ahead. Give us your best 60 seconds.
Okay. We have to understand the Protestant Reformation in terms of the transition from feudalism to to the beginning of nation states. And this coincides, of course, with the earliest stages of capitalism and, most important of all, the printing press, as we're undergoing a revolution, an information revolution, presently. At that point, the printing press was a major revolution, and within that period, instead of undying loyalty, you know, to something that's a royal structure, which is exactly what the Catholic Church structure is, people, as they became literate, were able to read the Bible for themselves, didn't need, you know,
the authority of the Catholic Church.
Yeah, greater literacy. And then questioning of, you know, this priest, this person who has to pray to God for him.
So, Catherine, I'm just curious, through that lens, that historical lens, if the printing press led to something as earth-changing as the Protestant Reformation, what do you think the digital revolution, the Internet and social media revolution today is going to lead to?
Well, I can't predict the future, but I can't wait to see. You know, I mean, I can see, there are so many ways in which the world has changed. I mean, just 20 years ago, if you entered an office, just what you would hear phones ringing and the tapping of typewriters and, you know, the way people and the structure of, you know, the main, the boss, you know, the real guy who's in the office and you know, so many things like that. The formality and all of that has changed already.
Yes. Catherine, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much. And one final addition to the explanatorium, which came in on our comments page, and it's really short. Tony writes, I'd like to explain that the Australian wombat has 42 teeth. Listeners, if you want to keep the explanatorium going on our webpage, you can go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, and explain something, explain anything that you know more about than most other people. Brian Lehrer's on WNYC. Coming up next, New York psychiatrist Mark Epstein with his new book, The Trauma of Everyday Life. It's about the prevalence of trauma from crisis to loneliness and its central role in human development. Stay with us.